This episode is brought to you by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club is fighting for a chance at promotion. These two Hollywood stars lead a team in the midst of history in the making, while dedicated staff and supporters hold on to a dream of returning the team and this working-class town in Wales to glory. FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Hey, Instance listeners, big thanks to Prime Video Channels for supporting The Instance. Only pay for the channels you want. Start your free trials of over 100 channels by visiting tryprimechannels.com/wow.
I'm Ghostcrawler. I am totally off the leash, and you are listening to The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance, episode 536 for September 21st, 2018. Scott Johnson here with my pals. Let's start with Garrett Weinzerpel. Hello.
Hello, Scott. Actually, you know, it's hilarious because I was making dinner last night and Katie was asking me, oh, you got The Instance tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, I think so. And She's like, Scott, still call you a Weinzerpel? And I'm like, no, he hasn't done that in a while. And There you go.
There it is. Sorry, Katie. I had to bring it back. It's good to have you here. Of course, fresh haircut and all. It's always nice to see someone who can grow their hair like a madman. Also with us all the way from beautiful countryside Helsinki. It's Patrick Beja, whose birthday it is. Patrick, what's going on?
Hey, so I'm 45 today, which is probably older than most of our audience listeners, but not as old as you, Scott.
No,
but,
you're still not where I'm at, so don't worry, you're good.
Yeah, it's weird, 45, because you're, you know, kind of over the hump of the 40s to the 50s. So I'm closer to 50 than I am to 40 now. And holy poop, I do not feel like I'm getting close to 50. It's like 50s, the people who are 50 are old. They're like literally old people, grandparents. I'm barely a parent. Hell, I'm barely an adult.
Well, so most grandparents, are in their like 60s, 70s, but I take your point. Look, here's something I've learned. When I turned 30... Actually, when I turned 20, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm old. Then I turned 30 and went, oh, how can this be? I'm so old, 30. How could you be so 30? And then 40 came and I went, ah. And now I'm starting to realize I'm the problem. It's not that age, time just kind of flows. It just kind of goes. It's not, you know, I'm just as immature as I was when I was 14. Watch this. Wiener. See, I can say wiener still, and I'm in my late 40s, but I still say wiener out loud.
Yeah, I'm not sure wiener is a good, you know, example of that, but I get your point. I see what you mean.
I mean, as someone in their 30s, that kind of it's a daily struggle. Every day I wake up, I'm like, I feel young, and then someone younger than me talks about how they've never had life without Facebook, and I think of, you know, starting driving without a cell phone, and I realize I'm old.
Yeah, it's there's definitely a cutoff there at some point, and there's a generation coming up who their life in the digital space has been so ubiquitous they're not going to be able to relate to us at all,
and we're going to look like for this show. Imagine a life only knowing
without the Warcraft. I don't want to. I can't. It would be too terrible.
It is a terrible thought, isn't it?
Sorry. Just to finish up on this, it is my birthday after all, so I do get to, you know.
Oh yeah, take the podium, dude. It's yours. Happy birthday. What's up?
The thing with me is, I never thought that 30s or 40s would be too bad, but 50s, it always was something like, wow, okay, that's definitely too much.
Yeah.
That's
here's the best part of it. Everyone has to get there. Unless they die early, which really sucks. So
that is true.
So if you ever run into somebody who's
dying early is probably not ideal.
Do you run into somebody who's 22, 23 going, hey, old man, and you're just, all you got to remember and think of is, well, you're either going to be here just like me or you're going to die early. Which way do you want it there, jackass? See, that's how you have to think about it.
That's a great way of looking. Thank you. I feel better now.
I want to die with a sword in my hand and an honorable death.
Oh, that's cool. That's all right. That seems unlikely, but I hope you get your wish.
Not in Florida. It's not. Happens every day.
Oh, all right. Well, I kind of forget where you're from sometimes. Speaking of wieners, it's a big wiener. It's like a big, it looks like a wiener from space is all I'm saying. Hey, check it out, you guys. We're talking about World of Warcraft today, and there's a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss, a lot to break down. However, just wanted to throw it out there. I think I've come to understand why I am so tied into this expansion more and more hardcore than I have been in quite a while. I think I figured it out. I think it's two factors. One is I'm just more in sync with it than I have been in a long time. That's a big part of it, and I don't think can be denied. But the second thing that's going on...
You mean the artistically, like the theme, the milieu?
Some of it is also just me going, here's a mechanic in the game that's been there since, you know, Lich King, that I just didn't give it the time of day or didn't care about or ignored or whatever. And now I'm like, no, I'm going to focus on that and do that thing. And then discovering that, oh, I might have liked this if I gave it a chance. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like little bits of the game that I used to sort of be annoyed with. And there's some I'm still annoyed with, rep grind and other things. But, you know, there's aspects of it like making sure I'm running a couple of dungeons a day. Making sure that I'm doing, well, you know, dailies turned into world quests, but making sure my world quests are where they need to be. And I used to hate dailies. I used to abhor them. And now I see them for what they are. And I focus in on, all right, well, I'm just going to do the Zandalari ones because I want to get that chest because I might get an upgrade piece of gear in there or whatever.
Sorry, just a second to clarify something. You weren't doing your dungeons or dailies before?
Not really. Like I would get to the part of the game where I would do dungeons. Like in when the dungeons would hit, I would do all the normals and then I'd see them in heroic and I might poke my head in somebody's, you know, group that was doing a mythic or something. But then I would be like, well, I've seen that content. I was more of a kind of seen that content, don't need to see it again kind of guy. And what I've turned into is I'm okay with the rinse and repeat more than I used to be. I'm having better goals in my head because the goals in my head used to be, well, one little piece of gear that may or may not drop isn't worth the pain in the ass it is to go through this dungeon again. Now I'm like, no, it is worth the pain in the ass to do that. And I can kind of just, I don't know. I'm more tolerant to it. It's weird. I can't explain that part of it, but I'm more tolerant to that stuff than I used to be. So that's number one. But the big factor I think for me is I don't think there's a day that's gone by where I haven't been able to log into one of my characters and get something better before I got in. In other words, even when I didn't expect it, a chest cache or whatever they're called, what are they called? Azerite cache or whatever they're called, will pop and suddenly I've got better shoulders than when I went in and I thought, no way I'm getting an upgrade today. And I'll walk away with a gear upgrade or I'll walk away with, you know, I don't know, some other thing I didn't expect. I was just randomly dicking around in Arathi. We don't currently control the freaking warfront, so I thought, well, let's just go in there. And I didn't realize there were all those quests to do 20 of everything quests. So I'm just bumping around doing those. Great, no problem. And I see a world boss. It's that big Azerite car. That's not a car, whatever it is. Like, what's it called?
Yes, right, car. Yeah, of course. I got it with Uber last Sunday.
What's it called? It's called something. It has a name.
I love it. They keep. They offer you mints, and there's always a water bottle in the back seat.
Oh, the lion's roar. Maybe it's an alliance Azerite fueled monster truck. Basically, anyway,
they need to come up with a better name for these things.
Oh, lions. Lion's Fang. Sorry, chat room clearing it up. Lion's Fang. That is correct. And it's just out there bumping around. And I thought, oh, there's some people. Here's a world boss type boss. I'm gonna fight it. I'll just be here. I happen to be here. Let's see what's up. I walked away with the best chest upgrade ever. Just lucky, you know. But every day I come away with something to up my eye level or up my reputation gain in a more significant way than I thought or something than I did the day before. And I don't feel like I ever got that in previous expansions as much. It was usually maybe every few days something good would happen for me. But it feels like every day I go do a little bit of work and I walk away with something better. and the roles are a little better. I'm warforging more often. Like, that stuff's working for me in a way that is definitely made me way more WoW focused than I've been in a very long time.
I mean, so, what you're describing is essentially Diablofication.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I feel like
it
there
kind of is. Yeah,
I feel like that's a huge part of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and for anyone screaming at home, I mean, it did kind of start in Legion. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, if you weren't doing a lot of world quests or dungeons in Legion, especially in the early days, you didn't really have this experience.
Right. And so because of that, I mean, it's just so much more of a draw. And I assume there are others who can commiserate. Maybe even you guys can. Patrick, I know that you'd been pretty swamped with travel and stuff. Have you had a chance to do more than you had before, or how are you doing right now?
No, I'm a bit ashamed. I wanted to do the Warfront, so I finally jumped in and did the initial, you know, looking around quest. And then I'm like, all right, cool. The table, I click on it. I'm gonna be doing Warfront stuff. And it was like, you're not level. Your eye level isn't, you know, whatever, 320, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not even there. What do you mean? And yeah, so it's a bit. I feel extremely ashamed. I haven't been, but what you're talking about, I definitely got in Legion.
Yeah.
In Legion, I was all in, and I think it existed then. It's new. It is from Legion, but it's at that point that it started getting into that groove of you're right, Garrett, the Diabloification. So I completely understand that that is how you feel, because that is how I felt. Mm-hmm. On this iteration, it just didn't grab me as much, I think it's safe to say. And also, I've been super busy.
Yeah, that combination of things can be a bit of an issue. But I don't know. I don't know what it is. Just something in there, something in the sauce is getting me. I don't know. Can't explain it.
You had a cooler experience out in Arathi that I did because of I know both of us didn't really read up on Warfronts a lot. But once they were out, I finally did. I was like, okay, what do I actually have to do? Because when they first showed up, they kind of underwhelmed me. So I went and looked up guides. And so I knew there was a world boss. So the whole reason I went out there, I skipped all the other quests because I was like, I don't care. War resources, I don't need it. Gold, I have enough of it. I went out there just for the world boss. But I love the idea of being out there and not knowing there's a world boss and just being like, oh my God, look at that monster. I have to kill it.
Well, I knew it was a world boss. I hadn't really studied up on what world bosses were where and what they were going to get. I didn't know what their loot tables were and stuff. I hadn't really looked. I usually don't, because I don't know. I like the fun of, I'm just going to get what I'm going to get. Now, at some point in the expansion, I flip over and go, I'm paying attention to every damn thing. I open the adventure guide and I look, all right, that's a gear upgrade, or I load a mod that does it for me, whatever. I'll get there. But right now, it's just kind of fun to discover. So as soon as I saw it, I went, oh, world boss. And as I got closer, all the players started popping in. And I went, oh, it's time. It's go. Let's go. Let's go. So I knew what I was in for. I just thought, you know, I'm just passing by. Oh, you guys need a few arrows and you need a cat to bite some things? I'm here for you. And they do that. And then it drops this sweet piece of 370-something gear. It was amazing. Like, I about to poop myself. And I don't think there were too many others who got it, obviously, because it's a rare thing. That's the point of a world boss, is you might get it, you might not. But it just seems like every day I'm finding something like that. And even on days that are a little slow, like yesterday, I had a little time, so I popped in. And I just ran two islands to finish out the weekly goal thing to get a bunch of Azerite. And did a quick Talanji cache. And I thought, well, that'll just give me some rep. And I'll go talk to Fuzzy Butt on the boat, get some stuff going there. And then I'll log out of here. And the cache ended up giving me purple boots. Like, it's just something's always happening. And I do, and I think you guys are both right. It's a Diablo style approach. And I think the expansions where I got the most, not bored, but the least amount of motivation, where when I just is when the game just felt like it was all preset and you would just go do the things and the only luck was rolls and that was it. But otherwise, it was just go do the things. It's all made for you. You know where to go because we've told you where to go, and you know what to do because we've told you what to do. And in this expansion, and Legion 2, Legion certainly felt like this as well.
I'm not sure how this is different, though. You still do the things, or maybe it's the world quest that give you a bit more freedom, but feels like this is also like just do the things that you're supposed to do.
It is that, but it's this notion that I might progress and or benefit from doing those things that have been predetermined for me to do. I might benefit from them more often and more and in more unusual and surprising ways, if that makes sense. I think that's what I'm feeling. Now, it's not whole hog like we've gone completely into random loot land by any stretch, but there is still this feeling of like, well, if I go do this stuff, there's a good chance I'm going to Warforge, or there's a good chance I'm going to Titanforge, or there's a good chance I'm going to get a cache that has, you know, lucky me in it. Like that stuff.
You kind of get rewarded no matter what you do. You just do stuff.
Yeah, it's not no matter what you do, or at least if it is, it doesn't feel that way. It just feels like I'm not grinding and wasting time. And that's a good feeling in a game. I want to feel like I'm making a difference, having a good time. There's variety. I can hop into multiple kinds of things to do in the game. I ran some Battlegrounds since we last talked, which is crazy. I never do that. Like, I'm all in right now. I don't know what's going on. It's crazy.
I think the last time I played MMO PvP with you was in Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh, my gosh. Remember that ball thing they had? You had to...
That's exactly the memory that comes to my mind, is running around that weird ball court.
What was that? Yeah, and you had to...
I don't remember. Seemed kind of dumb.
Someone will say something in the chat. Now, the chat room points out that right now I'm happy because RNG is smiling on me. And at some point... I'm going to be that guy in Vegas who keeps rolling perfect rolls, and at some point I'm going to stop, and it's going to be a long drought of unluckiness.
It is worth bringing up, because I have had rotten luck. Mm. I have killed every world boss as many times as I can. I have just yesterday got my first piece of world boss loot, and it was a five item level upgrade.
Oh my gosh.
It was like, I have like my gloves and boots are really good. I don't need any more gloves and boots, and boots dropped. Yeah. It could have been anything else, and it would have been a huge upgrade.
Yeah. I haven't had a lot of luck in dungeons, though. That's where I've kind of not had the best luck. Stuff hasn't dropped in those places for me.
I've been getting pretty incremental stuff in dungeons, but the thing, I like running dungeons, so it's fine, because I just keep getting incremental upgrades here and there.
Yeah. It's okay to do that. And you know, I ended up with a terrible group in what's the one where you got to kill Mazma or Yasma? What's her name? What's the name of that? Anyway, whatever it is. It's like the outdoor, it's like an outdoor Zandalari troll thing. Anyway, and they have the purple spiders that get big and small, whatever that one is.
Oh, King's Rest.
King's Rest. Thank you.
I like that final boss fight.
Yeah, it's a good fight. The whole thing's good, but I ended up with a really poopy group. But it was also a world quest. I was determined to finish it. We went through three tanks.
The Tal'Dazar. Thank you, Chapman.
We went through three tanks and had to kick a couple of DPSers who kept pulling everything before we finally got through the whole thing. So some of that frustration stuff was there. And at the very end, I got the world quest done, obviously, but when I got done with the whole thing, she dropped what looked like a really rad upgrade to one of my trinkets. Sad thing it was a trinket I already got with you guys, and it was a dupe. So I still think that there are too many dupes in the game. I don't think you should get the same drop once you've got it. I'd rather suffer through getting less drops than having the same drop again.
Yeah, more duplicate protection would be nice.
Yeah, that's my only real complaint right now.
But yeah, overall, I think the loot, everything I'm having with loot is overall pretty damn good. Yeah. Like duplicate protection is, yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I'm still a little unenthusiastic about Azerite gear, but I don't think it's the end of the world.
No, me neither. I'm also heartened by much of what Ian said in their Q&A the other day. They know these things are issues, and they, you know, as always, there's stuff getting tweaked or whatever. I'm old enough to remember in Legion when. Everybody,
I'm sorry. Say I'm old enough to remember that last expansion.
Yeah, the last one.
When, only not been current for a couple months now.
I just think people forget, because those early that early month of that release, there was a lot of complaining about gated content and your alts not being able to unlock world quests as soon as they hit 110, and like there's a lot of that same sort of stuff going on, and then they tweak it and iron it out and make it better, and that's how this stuff goes. And we're about to have that with some patches. We've had some of that stuff hit already, so not worried about it. It's fine. I'll complain about Azerite gear and its lack of excitement for a little while longer, and maybe they'll fix it, and maybe they won't. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to say they won't, but anyway, we'll see how it goes. Well, we should get into the major stuff. We got all kinds of stuff today. So here it is. Let's start with this. All right. We now know what the next major patch will be and what it's called. It is called Tides of Vengeance. It brings the war to Zandalar in a lot of ways, specifically the raid. We'll get to that in a minute. But let's talk about some of the new content. The war campaign continues. They also say that incursions are coming, similar to the Legion assaults. Horde and Alliance forces will invade an area, turning off world quests and adding an objective to the area. How does this sound to everyone? Because I think I don't remember doing much with Legion assaults. I kind of just ignored that stuff.
I really enjoyed them when they first came out. Yeah. Then there was a very long stretch of time where I didn't touch them. And then when I got alt fever right before the expansion, I leveled almost exclusively through them and really enjoyed it.
And do you think that's the... Do you think that might be the main reason they are bringing these back, or a form of this is coming back as a catch-up mechanic for alts and things like that?
To a certain degree, my thought around these types of things is, I guess, a little larger in scope. Like, in the broader picture, I think it's just a good way to keep the world alive, keep people involved in the larger world, keep them out there, keep people interacting with one another. And war mode has just done wonders for that, in my opinion.
I agree.
And then keeping the world quest system in from Legion, and then bringing this in, and hopefully war mode will add an extra layer of interest with incursions. I'm very excited for it. They didn't detail incursions enough, though. Like, I'm curious, will they be going simultaneously in both areas, or because I'm hoping one will be up at a time so that it makes war mode more interesting.
Yeah, my guess is here's what we'll see. They didn't get into too much detail, like you said, but these incursions will be, everyone will sort of be alerted that they're happening in a zone or an area, and in will come an airship or a boat full of the kind of AI we're getting used to through Islands and through Warfronts. This new kind of more human-like AI behaviors. We'll have a bunch of enemies pop out of boats and stuff and fight us, and we're going to have to fight them in that way. So it feels more like you're fighting a more dynamic enemy. I don't know that for sure, but I think that would be cool. I just don't want static, you know, like it was with incursions or with demon invasions. It was just like a demon standing there, like they always do, get aggro, DPS him down, get out of the poo. Like, I know that we're used to that dance, but I do kind of like the new AI and the way they behave.
Specifically the AI in Islands.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great.
The AI for the opposing faction NPCs that you have to fight is really good, and unlike anything I've ever seen in this game. I don't know why there's not more of it outside of Island Expeditions.
Patrick, did you run a lot of that old stuff? Like, when those invasions happened, was that a part of your Legion experience?
I was not a huge fan. Mm. I thought it was fine, but it felt a bit samey. It was definitely not my favorite part of the expansion. And I think it's telling that a lot of people use them for alt, farming stuff. Because at that point in your experience, you need the mindless experience where you're just not thinking too much about how things go. And that's what they're good for. So, but maybe it's going to be a little bit different with the new NPCs and the new AI. But the way it was in Legion, it wasn't my cup of tea.
Well, another issue, chat rooms are disagreeing me with the AI issue. And I feel like that could be, Patrick, what could change things is the behavior of what you're fighting. Having that change and be more dynamic could be more interesting. Chat room saying, or somebody in the chat, I can't find who said it, crap. Corruptor 47 says, you must be doing different island expeditions than I am. Those AI are standard garbage that only do the same three things. Oh, I don't know, man. They retreat, they switch targets. I completely disagree. Like, okay, fine. But regular AI in the game does the same one thing. I'll take three things over one thing. Like, I'm not here to say that they are convincing, 100% convincing AI bots or anything like that.
Just the fact that they move around on their own, you actually have to chase them like a PvP fight is enough. Like in the grand scheme of World of Warcraft NPCs, that is a huge change.
Oh yeah, no, it's enormous.
They cast
it. Yeah. And they have kind of personalities. Like the way they fight, some of them are very aggressive. Some of them, you know, because they're blood elf rogues, will jump every chance they get and be super annoying in that way. They have fighting personalities, fighting styles, which you're right, it might not be the most incredible thing ever, but it's definitely more than the standard mob who, you know, you tag and then it runs to you and casts the same spell 15 times.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And the other thing is, I mean, there was a hot second in my first island where I thought I had been put into a PvP environment, even though I knew these were PvE experiences. I thought maybe this was, I don't know, somehow it had gone head to head, or I misunderstood how islands were supposed to work.
Well, there is a PvP version.
There is. Yeah, there is. But I kind of thought for a minute, oh, am I in one of those? And it didn't last very long for me to be confused. But for a second there, I was like that. So I'm just saying it's enough to differentiate it vastly from the existing AI in the game. And I don't know. I appreciate that. And I'm just saying that could make these invasions more interesting. On the other hand, it may not. It may just be, well, now we've got them figured out. These aren't Destiny bots by any stretch, which are awesome AI, I think. So, you know, we're always going to compare it to other games that are doing better with AI or whatever. But I think for what it is and for the kind of game this is, it's pretty impressive. So we'll see. I don't know. But those are coming. And I'm interested. There are new world quests coming. This is also about the time they did that with Legion in terms of its timing. They add more world quests, so there's a little more variety coming. Always a good thing. Sourfang, Taronda, and Vol'jin storylines will be advanced. So that's cool. Yeah. Are you hoping that we get a lot of Taronda going, husband, and him going, Taronda? A lot of that. Is that what you want?
I just want Taronda on the warpath because she kicks ass and Malfurion is boring.
Yeah. He's Tree Santa is what he is.
Tree Santa.
He's just sitting around going, ho, ho, ho.
He gives the worst presents.
For the wilds. He's just a funny old grandpa type guy. But
you were naughty, Timmy. I left you sap in your sock.
Has anyone seen Santa's little worker wisp? He left him here yesterday.
How did you make that dirty?
What his what? Wait a minute! How did you take it dirty? You took it dirty.
I was about to say I didn't take that as dirty.
Yeah, because Patrick, it's French. Fine. French people.
I'm French.
Yeah,
Patrick's dirty mind. I'm so ready for this, man. The stuff that's been happening with Vol'jin has been so cool that I spent like 30 minutes talking about it on the show.
By the way, spoiler: for those of us who play Alliance, we had no idea. Like we thought Vol'jin was dead and that was it.
He's still dead. He's just okay. So there's a quest we had to run or didn't have to
hold on. Yeah. Patrick is accusing us of being spoiler. I will just say there is no spoiler. We didn't tell you what happened.
Yeah, there's no spoiler.
It's just a funeral for the dude.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, okay, that's fair enough. Okay, fair.
I'm just saying the evil joke. I guess as a spoiler, say anything at all is expanded upon.
Listen, I wasn't okay. Fine, I wasn't like accusing you of ruining World of Warcraft for me.
You are essentially. I am now talking to you as if I'm talking to every single person on the internet that ever goes. Hey, spoiler.
Yeah, spoilers.
I'm just like everything we talk about on the show is a spoiler to somebody. Like I haven't done World Quest yet. I didn't know there were any. And it's like
fair we're doing enough,
Warcraft fair. Show.
Here's the thing
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Sorry, just to clarify.
Yeah,
it wasn't so much the spoiler, but the fact that we didn't know Vol'jin was still in business. We're like, oh, okay, so he died. He made the worst decision in World of Warcraft history, making her greatness war chief.
Yeah.
And that was it for us. So learning that he actually is apparently not dead or maybe doing stuff. Well, not dead, but like there's stuff happening, I'm guessing, once on the
let's say it's kind of okay, a it's kind
let's
of
let's
a
put it this way. Yeah. This is a mild spoiler. Vol'jin is mentioned. It is still a huge mystery, even if you play through what happens on the Horde.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to say that. There's not really, you don't learn a ton. I will say this, though. Think of, like, Obi-Wan Kenobi a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, that then now
it doesn't really spoil it. I'm just saying. Scott, Lois
has the best. The best spoilery non-spoilers. He's like, all right, listen. I'm not saying that you know, Kaiser Soze is anything special, but I'm just saying, you know, he might have a limp. We don't know whether it could be possible.
Oh God. Also, you just spoiled Star Wars.
If you haven't seen Star Wars, I think
in the chat room.
No question there.
Yeah, I've spoiled. Permission to pimp another show.
yeah, good idea. You should, by the way. Hey, if you want spoilers about Star Wars, you should go listen to, what's it called? All About, no, wait.
I was going to say, go check out my solo show because I just put up an episode.
Oh, yeah, T2T2 or R2T2. You talked about all that stuff in depth, right? I heard about this.
Yeah. I put out like a 30-minute episode last week that's all about Vol'jin and Zalazane as well. So if you want to hear some old school troll lore, go check that out.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm into that. All right. By the way, if anyone in the chat room knows where I can get a hold of the voice pack or the lines without any other ambient sounds, and a lot of times this stuff shows up on YouTube, but I haven't seen it yet, but there is a specific troll voice out in Vol'dun that I must find. I'm enamored with that guy. I want to know who's the voice actor. I want to play his samples during the show. And the only thing I can say is...
be careful with playing people's samples, Scott.
I know. I got to keep your samples private. Yeah. But I want to hear it because the way the guy talks is like, this is a terrible... I can't even do it. He's got a really unique troll voice. And it's... okay, I'll give you a hint. One of them... I'll tell you who one of them is. He's the little chef guy. It's a chef troll out in the middle of the desert. And he's the only chef one you're going to run into. He's got a chef hat and he wants you to go... do some kind
of... God, I know who you're talking about, although I don't remember what his voice sounds like, because I was kind of speeding through that area because it was like cleanup time after I had just max leveled.
Well, there are a number of NPCs who use the voice, like is often the case in the game. You know, different characters will say that you have the same voice, but I don't know who it is, and I can't find him. And there's something about him. I just can't get over it. And he is named, and I'll find his name to Alex sometime before the end of the episode, maybe, but... cannot find that guy's voice work, and I love it. All right.
I will, while we're on the subject, you know where you go and you get your you use the scrap machine?
Yeah.
In the whole capital.
Yeah, with the goblins there, sure.
Yeah. If you walk right out the door, there's like a Gurubashi Berserker giant troll dude. I don't know if he's actually technically Gurubashi, but I'm fairly certain that's the voice actor of Reinhardt.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
I'm not used to that type of voice coming out of a troll, even a giant one. Well, it totally sounds.
It could be. Didn't he tell? So he told Patrick and I.
It would be J. Jonah Jameson's voice actor, Darren DePaul?
Darren DePaul, yeah. Here's the thing. Patrick and I talked to Darren DePaul last year at BlizzCon, and he was talking to us about how he listens to the instance, and the reason he was listening is because he was trying to get more of a groove about Warcraft stuff. He may have been talking about stuff he did in this expansion. I don't know. That would have been about the time, right? That would have been when he would be doing it. So,
well, I know he did some World of Warcraft stuff. I forget exactly what he did.
He struck me as the nicest guy at BlizzCon. He was so nice. My gosh, that guy.
Dude is so stoked to meet fans.
Yeah,
I feel like every time there's a conference that Darren DePaul attends, my Twitter and Instagram is just full of people getting him to say awesome things, and he always seems super stoked about it.
Yeah. Patrick and I were at some point walking around upstairs, ran into him, and then he was just nice enough to just sort of let us hold him up forever. And we weren't trying to. In fact, I kept feeling like, okay, we probably should let him keep moving. And he was just so friendly and wanted to talk and just nicest guy. A true Reinhardt, really.
Can we just have a Reinhardt surrogate in Warcraft? Cause he's like the best Overwatch character.
Yeah. Chat room, he is not Garrosh, just to clear that up. That's a different guy. That guy's great, though. He did this for us. Where is he? Here. He did this. No. Can't. Oh, here he is.
When I'm not busy making faces at the humans, I'm listening to The Instance. Alliance Pigs.
He did that in 2011. There you go.
It's been a long time ago.
What else? We got Heritage Armor coming for the other races, Dwarves and Blood Elves. You like that? You excited about that?
Yes, because I'm a Blood Elf. Everyone else can eat it.
I hate Blood Elves. I really do want to. I want a Nightborne for my Demon Hunter, please. Thank you very much, Blizzard. Anyway, I
just started dipping my toe into an alt, and it's a Nightborne Warrior, and I'm loving it.
Oh, good. Oh, a Warrior. Interesting choice. I like that. You unlock it via a racial quest. We're never going to get past all this racism, guys, if we keep having racial quests. I'm just saying. Let's see. You can log in, unlock it, and do all the stuff you got to do. If you're into that, you know what you're doing. There's a new Warfront. The Battle for Darkshore will be coming with this patch. Night Elves versus Forsaken. New structures, upgrades, and, of course, Darkshore will have max level character content and zone up updates. So, again, taking some old content, making it new again. I really like that. It's my favorite part. I don't like War Fronts, or what's it called?
Warfronts.
I don't like Warfronts very much from a gameplay perspective, but I like that they have opened up a whole new place for us to go do stuff, and I think that's cool. Island Expeditions. Two new islands are coming. You got the Jorundal, which is Vikril stuff, so you're going to get all kind of cool Viking and Norse-looking business, and Havenswood, which is a Gilnean city thing. That means you're probably going to get the werewolves over there is what I'm thinking.
Cool, vaguely English-looking cottages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great. I'm into that. Island Expeditions will have new events and enemies, more variety, holdouts that can be triggered, and Azerite extraction points that you will have to depend is what it says, but I don't know what that means.
I'm going to go with defend.
It must be defend. They put defend. I think they meant defend. Yeah. I wear defends diapers.
Yes, they defend your pants.
Yeah, Patrick knows. He's 45, he knows.
Oh, my pants are fully defended.
Oh, good. Full pants defense. Yes. That's good. You should always have that.
that's pretty good. Full pants defense. Yeah. It would be a slogan for something.
Might be today's title.
I want to just always get these two islands.
Yeah.
I'm figuring out. Rykul and Gilneans have really cool tile sets.
Yeah, I agree. I want them as playable characters also. Well, I guess the Gilneans are, but I'd like the Vikril, please. I guess is all I'm saying. Vikrils would be nice.
I would like to be able to play my Gilnean always in human form, always with a top hat and monocle.
Oh, all right. Never turn into a wolf. You don't want to do that?
I don't want to be a dog.
Well, then just go be a human and wear those clothes. You could do that, right?
Yeah, but I want the cool English accent.
Oh, yeah, that is cool. That's why you got the Kul Tiras now. They're your friends.
There we go. I want Kul Tiran so bad, by the way.
They're pretty cool. I want to make a big fat guy. That's what I want to do. Just a great big fat guy. They have them. You can make
Again,
a big old...
stop making things dirty, Scott.
I want a big old fat guy. All right. What else? There's spawning improvements. Won't be uniformly blanketed by spawns. More clusters and hubs. More gaps. More navigation between hubs. That's all good stuff. Since the mobs don't drop aggro once you aggro them, I would like more places to sort of move around stuff without getting snagged because your other two teammates suck or whatever.
I hadn't really thought of it until they mentioned it, but yeah, adding more clumps is going to make it a little more strategic because right now I feel like we would like to make decisions on where to go, but we kind of just have to kill everything between point A and point B.
Yeah, which kind of blows. I mean, it's okay, but if you're... because there's some strategy to saying, oh, look, on the map, there's a huge deposit over here guarded by a monster. Hoo-ha, we got to go take him down, and we may have to fight the other team for that. You don't necessarily want to aggro every stupid alligator on the way. So give us ways around stuff just so we can be a little more strategic. We may still go back and get the alligators. They have, I don't think anything's wasted on those islands. If you're there, you should kill just about everything you see, group them up, AOE them down, be smart about how many elites are in that group and whatnot. Like, that's all good. But when you're playing with randos, like I was playing with a guy yesterday, may as well be, he just wanted to play by himself. There's no interest in working with us. And we lost my first ever Island Expedition Heroic. We lost. And I've played dozens and we lost it. Pissed me
off. Haven't done one with randos since my first one. And it was not great.
Yeah, it's not great. It's, I mean, sometimes it is. I've had some really good ones with people who are super coordinated and just know what they're doing, and we whip through and win real easy, and it's great. But then there's just people. I mean, it's people.
I will say I used the group finder last week for the first time to do some mythics, and it was great. It went really well.
Well, that's good. I haven't done a mythic in there yet. I would like to do one. an island expedition mythic. That'd be fun. Yeah, I'd also, I also like to try the the PvP one. I wouldn't mind just trying, just to see what's, you know, how that feels. But we'll see. If I do that, I'll do it with
Kyle. We need our pocket healer.
Yeah. I need someone who can make me float just for no reason. what else here? You got your new raid. Okay, here's the big deal. This is the big one. Siege of Zuldazar. It's different than any raid before. Why? Because each faction, and this sounds super cool, but also a little frustrating because that makes everybody want to go max level their other dude and see what's going on over there. But you get your own...
No, you don't have to, actually.
Well, you don't, but like, you're right.
No,
you
I mean,
don't.
You don't have to because you can play... Well, explain what it is.
All right, so here's how it works. I take your point, and we'll get to that in a second. But anyway, I love this idea. Separate experiences, at least for your first rip through there, for each faction. So Alliance is going to see a completely different fight and or progression in there, and you as a Horde are going to see something totally different as well. Now, later on, you get to go back, or those it'll unlock those other bosses, and you'll get to fight them, right? I don't know how it gets unlocked, though. Patrick, do you remember? What's the deal? Do they just go, hey, well done, here are these unlocked ones, or do they say...
No, I think, well, they didn't explain exactly, but they said it was you would speak to scouts and stuff, and they would, like, tell you how things actually went, which is code for you just play through it.
Yeah, yeah, you get, like, the scouting report, but then you kind of phase in and actually fight the boss.
Yeah.
Right, I think so.
Which is a cool way of doing it, because I know they don't want to gate that content 100%, but I also like that you kind of have to do your faction thing first. That whole thing, that theme, this expansion, which makes perfect sense. It's the battle for Azeroth. It's about Horde and Alliance at each other's throats again. Everything kind of has this taste to it. And I like that a lot. Even if at the end of all this, we go, it didn't really work out great. Or war fronts were a nice idea, but didn't really convey the Horde v Alliance thing that we were trying to obtain here outside of just regular old PvP. And war mode's pretty successful. Like, all of these things are nice attempts, and we may look back and go, well, it wasn't perfect, but I like that they're trying to do this across the board, including raid content. And I think it's cool.
I think we actually thought this might happen, the two different experiences one experience per faction. We discussed it when we said, I think, we were talking about the lack of... class hole campaigns, and we thought, well, where are those resources going to go? Maybe they could do an actual different experience. We thought it would be like for the last raid, mm-hmm. where you would fight each other.
Yeah,
but this is kind of that, and it's a pretty cool idea for sure.
Yeah, I also like that the capital's under siege like this. I like that they're using the, you know, phased version of the pyramid for all this. I think that's really cool. I'm into that. Hey, you guys, what's going on? I want to make a big thanks right here in the middle of the show to Prime Video Channels for supporting our podcast. Prime Video Channels is an Amazon Prime benefit. There's so many benefits to Prime, but this might be my favorite. In addition to fast shipping with Amazon Prime, you can also have great entertainment delivered to you instantly through Prime Video Channels. Create a TV lineup that you'll love from 100-plus premium and specialty channels like Showtime, Stars, HBO, CBS All Access, Noggin, PBS Kids, PBS Masterpiece, Acorn TV, and BritBox. Oh man, that's a lot. All channels start with a free trial. You can start a 7-day trial of any of the channels you haven't tried yet. Only pay for the channels you want and start your free trials of over 100 channels by visiting tryprimechannels.com/wow. That's tryprimechannels.com/wow. I can tell you this is kind of embarrassing because I wish I would have waited, but I had HBO Go for a while. That was cool, and I like that, but turns out it's a lot easier to do this through Amazon Prime Video, and so I did. And if you don't want to miss the latest seasons of Ballers or Insecure or even... I don't know, Game of Thrones, which is coming up. Tons of movies. I loved Barry. Then that's a great one to get. That's just one of the many channels that you can get your free trial with and then have as part of your Prime lineup. It's fantastic. Did I mention the British channels? Lots of British and Australian shows and movies. British comedies, you not get enough of those? Oh, got good news for you then. Anyway, finding a channel is simple. It's easy. How easy was it? There it was. I clicked it. I hit subscribe. It's that simple. And I chose HBO because, you know, I love all the content they make. I'd like to watch it on my television, my Fire TV, my tablet, my iOS devices. I have an Apple TV as well. I have an Android tablet I watch it on. Guess what? It can be watched anywhere, and I can cancel anytime with no additional apps to download. I like watching it, and so will you. So, here's the deal. I want you guys to go check this out and get the best deal I've heard of in a long time. All channels start with a free trial. Start that 7-day free trial of any of the channels you haven't tried yet. Only pay for the channels you want. Start your free trial with over 100 channels by visiting tryprimechannels.com/wow. That's tryprimechannels.com/wow.
Basically, what I'm trying to say, sorry to go back to it, but I'm trying to say we called it.
Yeah, we totally called it, didn't we? There you go. Pat, I mean, you know what? I'm going to say Patrick called it. I'm giving it to you, man. Well done.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Well, it's your birthday. You should. Thank you. You should be. I should have mentioned this in the chat room. Already knows this, but you're not on camera today, and I think that's because you're in your birthday suit, and you can either confirm or deny that. You don't have to.
I can either. I have to.
You don't have to. You can. If you want to tell me why that you're naked, that's fine. We're not going to judge you.
Listen. You know what? The best. Way to build a mystique about your online persona is to leave it to people's imagination. So that's what I'm going to do.
Well, I'm imagining you naked. Is that cool?
Sure. do what floats your boat.
All right.
I'm totally cool with... Wait, maybe I shouldn't say that.
No, you shouldn't be cool.
It's okay for Scott to imagine me naked. Others, please ask for permission before doing it.
Yeah, and Garrett can only imagine... Garrett can imagine me imagining you naked. How about that?
Somehow that's even creepier.
I know, it's worse.
Yeah, I think it's... I was going to say, I know, Garrett's cool. You know, we podcasted together a few times. It's okay. But now it's you made it weird.
It's very strange. Breaking news. Someone in the chat room just maybe found that NPC I'm looking for. Let me just test this real quick. Zandalari Exile Male. Greetings. Let's see if we can get one to play here. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
Ooh, that would be awesome.
Oh, wait. They're not working. Oh, poop. Okay. Oh,
wait. Oh, well, that was anticlimactic.
Wait, here we go. Maybe. Oh, yeah. For some reason, they're not playing. Why aren't they playing? It looks like they're busted on Wowhead. All right. Well, we're closer. We're getting there. We're going to extract those. Someone's got a tool. We're going to make this happen. I just was really hoping to play it on the show. I want to adopt one of these trolls.
There's still a chance, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's always a chance. There's always a chance. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get there.
Never lose hope.
Thank you.
There's also still another raid we haven't discussed.
Oh, yeah. We should talk about the other raid.
True. There's a whole other raid.
Yeah. What's that one called? This is called the Crucible of Storms. Two bosses located under Stormsong Valley. It'll be released after Zoldazar. There will be supporting world content, hints at the influence of Queen Azara. So this is all great little in-betweener content, but also I think just gives people more stuff to do, and I'm thrilled about that. So great.
More madness, more eldritch horror, please, yep. And thank you.
Yep. So you get a total of 9 boss encounters with Zoldazar, and then you get your little mini deal here with two bosses. I'm trying to think of what it reminds me of. It's like,
Trial of Valor in Legion.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like that. There was one that kind of failed in Lich King toward the very end. Do you guys remember this thing where it was like...
Oh, Ruby Sanctum?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I stopped playing.
That wasn't good. That was poopy. That was no good.
We had Lich King on a farm at that point, and I was just like, I think I'm good. It's...
Yeah, I don't love that, but this sounds great. Crucible of Storms. It's probably some kind of cool electrical stormy stuff going on there, and you're all gonna love it. So check it out. That'll get released after Zoldazar, though they don't say when. And I'm excited. Now, some other stuff coming through this patch that is upcoming, and that is some general improvements, like system improvements. For example, class updates, new Azurite traits, new profession recipes, Gnomeregan pet battle dungeon, and more. So if you're into that pet battle stuff, that's someone out there is excited. The team has learned from the Azurite traits. Current ones are are a floor in terms of complexity, new traits with more complexity coming. So from a design perspective, this is them saying, well, okay, here's your initial ones. We're going to build on those from here. Balance it as we go. That sounds good. Replacements are coming for those traits people don't like. So if they're not very effective or not very interesting, while that's, you know, arguable.
This is where I have my heaviest skeptic pants on.
Oh, put them on. Let's hear it. Why?
No, just prove it to me.
Oh, I see. You need to be
at the moment. This is probably my biggest bummer in the expansion, besides rep grinding, which is just always boring to me. But it's always been a staple, so it's like whatever. It's neither here nor there. But Azurite traits.
Yeah.
This has to come out. They have to prove to me that I still don't get like a 15 item level upgrade and go, oh, well, it's bad because the trait is crap.
Yeah. It's a weird design thing. But
yeah. And that to me, like I've seen so many critiques of the system, and kind of the biggest one is that it's just not nearly as cool as weapons, where it was, you know, this is my weapon, I'm upgrading it. It's all kind of into one thing. This is a necklace, and then I get random pieces of gear, then it's strewn across, and it just doesn't feel as exciting. Mm-hmm. And I get that to a certain degree, but for me, I think that the crux of the issue is just that I get an item level upgrade, I should be excited.
Yeah.
But right now, instead, I'm like, well, let me pull up a sim website and look at a graph, and this isn't fun.
I think what I ran into with the necklace that I wasn't expecting, or I think where my problem is my expectation was on the heels of Legion's artifact weapons that we would take what we learned there and we would consolidate to a single neck piece that everybody got. And that made sense to me. You don't have to have the complexity of all these different weapons, all these different traits, all these different looks and feels for every weapon and all the unlockables like that. That is a huge thing that they pulled off with that. The necklace seemed like a way to say, all right, we're going to save ourselves a whole lot of pain by having a neck piece. What I thought we'd get is more than just it's a certain level neck piece and the associated gear. I thought what it would be is like our artifact weapons. It would have a big talent tree associated with the necklace, and it would maybe be tailored per class. But even if it wasn't, you could build it out based on your class. So you would pick the right talents for who you are. And you would have that kind of sort of tree branching tree thing happening, and it would be where you did all your work. Instead, they've got this thing that just, it was only cool when you held it up in the cinematic for a hot second before talking to Gimli over there again.
What are you talking about?
You know, the necklace. It's just boring.
But that's not the necklace doesn't matter. The necklace is just a catalyst for the Azurite gear.
Yeah,
and that's the system. The system is the Azurite gear.
Which bums me out.
The necklace doesn't do anything.
That's my whole point. That's why it bums me out. I wish that the necklace was the thing that I would shift, right click on it, and it would pop up with what my old weapon did, and have this big tree of cool things to unlock.
Instead, so you wanted the artifacts exactly the same again?
I wanted artifacts exactly the same again, in a single neck piece. So that they could focus more on the traits and less on, ooh, we have to make sure we have, you know, 10 classes worth of these weapons and all of the work that comes with
I don't know. I don't think there's a way for them to make one giant tree interesting for, you know, 40 classes. You have to make it class specific.
Well, yeah, that was going to be my pushback as well, and also spec specific. So you still end up having to design the same amount of trees as you did for the artifact weapon in what you're basically describing. I mean, maybe there could have been some crossover with, because we are seeing crossover in the Azurite traits right now. But yeah, I'm kind of picking up what you're laying down. I would like it. I wish it was just all consolidated to the necklace, because I like the loot grind. I like it when the loot grind is easy to understand and it's easy to get excited about getting new gear. I don't like having to sit there and really crunch numbers to figure out if this seemingly massive upgrade is actually an upgrade at all, or if I should actually just scrap it and keep the thing I've had for 2 weeks.
Katus in the chat room says it well. Scott is saying that all the Azurite traits should be inside the Azurite piece, and that is kind of what I'm saying. So I guess what I'm saying is, yeah, you'd still have to do it per class and even per spec, but you would have, this consolidation would have saved you time on having to worry about making sure you had all the different weapon models, all the art and work that's associated with that. You could have just not had any of that, but still had the same effect and what we liked about those weapons, you could have had that in the necklace. And I don't know why they didn't do that, except maybe that was just all too much work. I don't know. And that's why I don't like it, is it feels like they want us to get excited about a thing that they didn't have the work or a workflow or time to do. Does that make sense?
So, yeah, I think the current system is interesting because it means you essentially get special powers or legendary type affixes, you know, legendary items or, you know, the Diablo type affixes on gear that you can exchange. The issue of that system, so that would have been, I think, more interesting than just doing a repeat of the artifact from Legion, even, you know, with the slight variation that you would all have the same skin of the armor instead of having different skins.
Right.
I think there is a value in making you have interesting stuff and abilities in gear that you find in dungeons. It's essentially set bonuses on the gear you find. The problem is from a design standpoint, there's a duality, what was Garrett was talking about, there's a duality between your item level and that power. So you kind of have to, you're screwed. If you have a cool power and your item level is not good enough, then you can't use it and it's frustrating, and vice versa. So I think there's a possibility that they will still get it right. Somehow, maybe every controlling the item level better will allow for something to be always exciting, whatever you get. But that's the intent. And I think that's what we should be excited about in it being different from the artifacts, the way they were last expansion.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I guess this new system makes me long for what worked last time. And
yeah, but if you always do that, then you never have anything new.
No, and, I agree. I agree with that. Like, I love where world quests are versus the way that we used to do dailies. Like, that's an example of something that's progressed in a direction I really appreciate. And I do want them to progress these functions and these abilities. And I wouldn't have liked to, you know, right after Warlords, if they'd have said, well, we're doing what you call them again, your little hometown again, and but we've learned a lot of things. And I would rather them not do that. So I'm with you there. I guess I don't disagree. I just wish the current system was as fun as clearly they want it to be, and they're tweaking it. So
I mean, there were issues with the system before with how legendaries worked in Legion. I mean, it wasn't all perfect for sure. I had a hell of a time getting the proper legendaries, because there were proper legendaries, and that was problematic in the earlier days of Legion.
Right. And what you're getting now, you basically, these affixes are accomplishing that goal.
More or less,
and maybe a little
it's
less.
It's just not quite perfect, and I don't think it's easy. I don't think there's an easy answer, and that's why we haven't seen some type of like quick fix to make it better. Because in my head, I'm like, okay, well, if you solve, how do you solve this without kind of homogenizing the Azurite traits?
Yeah.
And I don't know how. Yeah. And that's why I say this is where I have my biggest, you know, bit of skepticism with everything that was announced. It's just because for me, this is probably the biggest sticking point, the biggest blemish on Battle for Azeroth, and I don't see it as an easy fix.
Right.
So we'll see.
It's a very difficult fix. Yeah.
Yeah. They can add new traits, but are they really going to be close enough in power level, or is it just going to be new traits with the same issues that we have now?
Right.
And I guess the thing is, even if the traits are fun, like a legendary would be, In WoW, usually you get someone who crunches the number and says, all right, this is the one you need, you know? And if you don't have it, you feel underpowered. And if you have it, it feels boring because that's, you know, you don't have a choice. So the advantage with the set bonuses was that, well, that's your class's set for this raid. So you get it or you don't, but you don't exactly have a choice. Here, it's you can choose which one you equip. So it's kind of a really difficult problem to solve. And I don't know if they're going to manage to do it. If they do, it's cool because you get tons of legendaries with exciting bonuses that you get to choose from and cater your play style to. But it's hard.
It's hard to break some old habits because I usually, you know, the minute I have an upgrade in gear, I'm like, well, Let's get out the yak. We're selling the old stuff. Like, I've got the cosplay. I've got the transmog. What else do I need this for?
And yeah, I cosplay yak. I love him. He's so helpful.
Cosplay yak is the best. It's always Deadpool, though. I don't understand why. Just a lot of Deadpool coming out of that.
A lot of Deadpool. Every now and then there's a Spider-Man, but he's hanging out with Deadpool.
Yeah, he's always with Deadpool anyway. And looks a little like Deadpool, if we're being honest. So there you go. That's the deal. Also, there's some other stuff. Let's see here. Oh, I skipped down too far. Here we go. There are going to be map and reputation improvements. We'll get to rep here in a minute. Tier set bonuses were simpler with more complex ones coming later. They're talking about that. Champions of Azeroth, reputation will be effectively account wide. So let's actually clarify that. If you're already revered, you can level an alt and go to get your upgrades right away at level 20. That all sounds great, but here's how it's going to actually work. It's not exactly like, oh, I did it with one character, so now no other character has to do anything. It doesn't exactly work that way. So somebody in the forums asked, or maybe they made this question up themselves. Does this mean, for example, I'm halfway through honored with 7th Legion on this tune, and if I get another alt at level through the 3 zones doing the quest lines, so that also gives 7th Legion rep, that will count towards rep on this tune as well as I should be revered, or vice versa on my alts should be halfway honored when they enter BFA? They said rep gain won't be account wide. However, progress toward the achievement will. So think of it this way. So
it's basically if you've completed a rep, if you've gained a rep level, then you're good, but it won't work if you don't. Correct. If you're midway through.
Correct.
Yeah, the bar isn't worth anything. It's the different levels of the rep.
Right. So if you got, from what I understand, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, but let's use Diablo as the example with Paragon stuff. If I go make a new, seasonal character, and I get him all the way up into some, you know, decent, let's say 100 Paragon levels, when the season ends, all that Paragon stuff shifts over to my account-wide pile of Paragon. And now everyone's got an 100 additional Paragon levels. Now, does that mean if I've got...
It kind of has nothing to do with it.
Well, here, hold on. If I've got 50... Let's say I'm at honored rep with one tune, and the other guy's worked a little bit on other rep, those now combine, right?
Like No.
No, that's what they're saying doesn't happen.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so that does not happen. If revered is the highest you've achieved, you now have access to revered bonuses on your other tunes.
Got it. Okay. So, but what if I'm halfway between revered and...
That's what doesn't work.
Well, what I mean is, if I'm halfway between revered and next and honored, and is that... that's the progression, right?
No, that's the same.
So it's honored to revered.
Honored to revered. Let's say I'm halfway between honored and revered with whoever. I can't think of anybody right now. Talanji's expedition.
So, okay, your rep status on all of your tunes is your rep status on the highest tune.
Got it.
But whatever you contribute to any other thing doesn't matter. It's just the maximum rep status you've achieved.
Okay. So that answers my question. If one of my other tunes, I get super stoked about him and spend weeks on him and end up surpassing that rep, that's now the new highest rep for that faction. Therefore, everybody on the account is now revered. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's just whoever has the highest rep.
That makes sense. It's not as confusing as I thought it was.
You started going into your Diablo thing. I'm like, oh no, you're making it more confusing.
Yeah. Cause in my head I was thinking, no, are you taking from this guy and adding what he earned into this other pile? Like I was trying to make too much of it.
No, but that is specifically what they are explaining. It isn't like,
all right. Well, I think their explanation kind of sucks. No, it's fine.
I'll give you that too. I did have to read this like 20 times to understand it.
It's like, a little like
said, whoever has the highest rep, that's the rep that counts for your whole account.
So they do a lot of, I have character A. I haven't touched him since Wrath. I have character B. It's like, all right, guys, I think we got it. Wherever the highest rep is, everyone gets it. That's pretty simple.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's see. In the events following the raid, you should be able to recruit the cool Terran and Zandalari allied races. So if you're wondering when that stuff is going to get unlocked, that's when that'll happen. If you're exalted with the Zandalari or Proudmoore and played through the war campaign, that's enough and nothing additional to do. They'll just be available and you'll unlock them. And there's a fruit fly in here and I'm going to kill it. Freaking thing. So there you go. That's all that stuff. Just a lot happening in the game. It's all very exciting. It's good to hear from Ian. Stoked about BlizzCon. Blah, blah, blah. Now, that book that everybody's crowdfunding, that's like all the insider stuff, it's called World of Warcraft Diary. And there's been a lot of talk about it. It's up to 300 and something thousand, almost $400,000 now.
400. It's already 400.
Did it hit 000. Four? That was their final unlock, yeah. So I guess they hit it. I'm fascinated by the stuff in there. It's mostly a lot of mechanical things. And I'm not going to read all these, obviously. It's huge, this list. But they recently did a little Q&A with MMO Champion. And they just went into a lot of interesting things about simple stuff. Like the portals to Molten Core and Blackwing Lair were a band-aid to the annoyance of clearing a dungeon to zone into them. Let's see. Nuking the useless Night Elf Quarter and Stormwind was a positive for Cataclysm. I like this one the best, and this seems to get glossed over. Stormwind was originally going to have gondolas. Oh my gosh, dude. I'm leaving the Horde forever the minute they get gondolas. Let's go. Like, up in the air, like on a big old thing going back and forth, and you could ride in there. That's an awesome idea, but it never happened. Anyway, I would just recommend What'd you say? Go ahead.
We did an interview of John Stats, the dude behind this this project. We did it in the Icy Veins podcast a month ago, something like that.
That's awesome. So, we should get him on here.
If you want more info, it's available there.
We should get him on here, dude. That'd be cool. I just want to talk about some of this weird stuff. Like, they used 3D Studio Max for all the interior levels, okay? So if you had a building or a bar or a tavern or whatever, 3D Studio Max, and then all the exterior levels were built with this in-house tool called Wow Edit, but it's totally separate tech, and you had to, like, mesh them together. It's all different now, but at the time, I don't know what it is, but nuts and bolts early Wow fascinated me. Obviously, everyone else is feeling this way because they got $400,000 for it. So there you go.
It's funny. He did a another Kickstarter or something else a few months ago, mm-hmm. and he fell short of his $400,000 goal. He got like $20,000, maybe even less. Mm-hmm. And this time he asked for $10,000 and did a pretty well-designed communications campaign, and he reached that goal. It was funny. And yeah, anyway, we talk about it in the Icy Veins episode where he's on.
They have terrible graphic designers. If you look at the Kickstarter page, it's gross. I just wanted to point that out. I think Garrett and I talked about this before.
I've said my piece.
We've already expressed our feelings. But don't let that dissuade you from coming on and talking to us here on The Instance. There, John Stats.
The information that is in this MMO Champion piece is wildly fascinating, and I really want to read this book, despite its funky-looking cover.
Yeah. I would, we'll let this one go, is what we're saying. And maybe, you know what, $400,000 means you can afford a nice cover, okay? Just saying. You got a lot of money now. Go spend a little bit of that on some good artist. Hire an ex-Blizzard guy, you know, do a nice, cool cover. Bob's your uncle. All right. Finally, Dreadwake Mount. Is anybody going to go spend about $80 for in-game time so they can get a free mount that looks like a boat?
Terpster did.
He did?
Yeah.
Psh. I mean, I guess I'm going to pay, but I'm already paying. Why don't they just say, don't cancel your account for as long as it takes to accrue $80 worth of game time. And then we'll send you the thing.
Because then they wouldn't get 80 additional of your bucks. Oh, and also, this is great because it gets you in for 6 months, which I'm guessing probably what happened last time is that people were getting off the game around 3 months time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they get 6 months and you're locked in. So more money for them.
Yeah. So you get that.
That's good.
180 days. We'll get you that. Also, you can go to the store and buy that parrot now if you want a parrot. So there's a $10 parrot. His name is Jimmy Crackers or something. What is it? Cracker Bill. Something Crackers. Something like that. And he's a little pirate pet parrot, and he can be your friend. But he's not on my shoulder, so F it. He'll be flying behind me. What fun is that? If he's not sitting right here, why would you have a parrot that looks like a pirate? A pirate parrot.
Well, he is wearing a pirate hat.
Oh, okay. Well, then done. Oh, Captain Cracker.
It's over. He has a pirate hat. You should buy him.
All right. I just think this thing's weird. If you're 180 days, I'm already paying for 180 days. I mean, what do I do? Cancel my monthly and just buy it ahead of time? I don't understand how I would do it. How do I do it? Can I do it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it just adds game time.
Just pay, Scott.
If I'm not going to cancel during that time, and I'm not, I'm just going to do it then.
Right. There's no reason not to, except that the amount is pretty silly looking and wouldn't ride around on it.
Yeah, and also $77.94 is a weird number, I think.
You can expense it, right? It's a business expense.
Well, so. No, I know how you're justifying it is less of a problem for me, but also Garrett makes a point. It's kind of an ugly, dumb-looking mount.
To me, it looks like I'm on a child's theme park ride.
Well, I mean, it's a bit like the Orgrimmar Charger or whatever it is, the balloon that we all got for, I can't remember what we got it for.
Yeah, but also pretty absurd looking.
Yeah, a BlizzCon thing. Floating around in that thing, especially without flying in his own. Ugh, that's rough, man. You look like you
did
look
like when we were all on it, when we were the first Friday Frogpants stream, when we were just killing a lion in their zone and we were all on it, just jumping around. It looked like the bouncing testicle episode of South Park.
Where Randy from South Park is riding that testicle around like a bouncy ball. I love that.
He's going boinging, boinging, boinging. It's great.
Episode. Yeah, it was really good. All right. Well, that's it for that. Let's take a quick look at what's going on around Blizzard. All right. Heroes of the Storm got a ton of stuff this week. Fall of King's Crest event, which is a bunch of new skins and stuff. So that's cool. Unlockables, all that. New mounts, so go check that out if you're interested in it. New team league changes coming as well, where you can queue up with any size group. If there's one of you, great. 2, 3, 4, 5, great. No more 1 or 5. I think that's going to be a very good thing. Let's hope it doesn't screw up matchmaking. Who knows? And also the old Battleground Garden of Terror is getting a very significant rework, plus some character reworks that are fairly notable. Won't get into too much detail here, but if you are interested, check out Into the Nexus and Core. Those are two fine podcasts all about Heroes of the Storm. Into the Nexus with Garrett and Kyle. You'll find Core with me, John, and Bo, and you'll have a great time in both those shows listening to our latest takes on all that stuff. Next up, Genji Sword from Overwatch. You can get it for Blizzard right now for $200, Patrick. Your favorite skinny ninja man. From wherever he's from Japan is now could be your you can have his sword all set to go. Are you ready for that? You gonna spend the 200?
Listen, Scott, I have my 5 years at Blizzard sword, and that's the only sword I need.
Oh, describe that sword. What is the 5 year Blizzard sword? It's not Lich King sword. What is it? Some kind of just
no, it's not. It's a you know, it used to change every year. I think now it doesn't anymore. Mm. But
I had a conversation with Ben Brode about this when he still worked at Blizzard, and they used to just buy random swords. Like some people have like Lord of the Rings replicas, depending on when you worked at Blizzard, and now they have a proper like Blizzard sword.
Oh, okay. But is it supposed to be like the one you got, Patrick? Is it supposed to be a specific sword from any games or anything, or just
no? It's just a swordy looking sword, and it's kind of a medieval type. As Garrett said, there used to be some weird looking ones and it was different every year, but I don't know that it was really just to because it was the one they would get. But maybe it would be some, I thought it was some differently designed ones. So, you know, oh, you have the 2012 edition. That was a fine version. But maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. Coverville.
I don't know if I answered your question. I forgot your question.
It's all right. Don't worry about it. Coverville, a.k.a. Brian Ibbett in the chat room, says they should have put those Genji swords in the BlizzCon goodie bag. Nothing could have gone wrong with that. I agree. That would have been a great idea.
Yeah, give everyone at a con a weapon.
A big, sharp weapon that shoots a green dragon out of it.
Oh, wait. Does it shoot dragons?
No, it doesn't do that.
Oh.
I wish it did. For $200.
Because then
I wish it
Yeah, worked. I would have, you know, it would have been a pretty good deal for $200.
Yeah. I mean, they're nice replicas, like everything Blizzard, farms out for this stuff. So I think it's probably super nice. I just think 200 seems... if you're really into Genji, this is a no-brainer. just go for it and get it.
It's pretty great looking.
Yeah, it's a sexy little sword. You know,
this is replicas. The Overwatch figurines and stuff like that have been pretty well done and pretty well crafted. I don't think there are any, you know, bad ones amongst the ones they've done, like the large ones.
I agree. Yeah, they've been good. Also, that Sylvanas statue they put out a while ago is really, really awesome. I want one of those. Garrett, tell me why everyone's mad at Hearthstone right now.
Oh, don't. Why you goading me?
You had
this,
to bring it up. Listen, that thing you guys have been begging for years, it looked like it was finally going to be yours, and then I don't know what happened over there, but they went, man, it's too hard. I don't want to do it. So what's the deal?
That's basically my thought is, oh, cool. So they put out a blog post with a bunch of additions to the game. The thing is that all of the additions to the game are for new players, and the one thing in the announcement kind of buried, saying, oh, hey, we're not working on this anymore, would have been the only thing in this exhaustive blog post that actually changed the game for people who have been playing for 5 years.
Which is tournament mode, right? Just so everyone understands. Yes. The idea was that some time ago, I don't know when this was, but Blizzard said, tournament mode's coming. I don't know if that was before Ben Brode left. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here.
It was before Ben Brode left.
Ah, yes. Then I am going to be a conspiracy theorist.
Announced before Ben Brode left. Right. It was announced at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
You know, Brode left because he was like, what? Canceling tournament mode? I cannot abide by the unethical behavior of this department.
Yeah.
I am gone, sir.
We're canceling Ben Brode.
Yeah. So I'm trying, if it gets brought up again, I'm trying not to make it about tournament mode, because to me it's not about tournament mode. Tournament mode is just a symbol for what I see as a larger issue with the game, which is inability to change and add meaningful features besides just new cards. And a lot of people just go, well, you get 130 some odd new cards. And I go, it's a card game. It has to have that.
Yeah, that part comes with it. But because it's a video game,
bare minimum.
Video games afford you the option to do more than that. And it does seem like that's a weird pullback.
And yeah. Like, I get it. I sound like a brat, and I am to a certain degree, but it's also Blizzard, and there's a certain expectation that comes with Blizzard games that they will be iterated upon with some frequency. And Hearthstone just isn't. And it's weird. I don't get it.
Yeah, this isn't like when they said with Diablo, hey, remember that little arena PvP mode we were going to put in the game? We're not doing that now. I mean, some people are interested in that, but that's not the same as saying tournament mode is not happening anymore. Like, that's crazy to me. I'm not even a huge Hearthstone player, but I'll bet you tournaments would get me more into it. and I don't know, what did they say? Why? Did they give a reason why it's just not happening?
They just said it wasn't going to add enough value to the game, which I agree. What they announced as, like, what was going to come out as the tournament mode beta was extremely basic. It wasn't even going to have bans, which to me just seems absurd. And at the time when that came out, their reply was, well, no one can agree on what tournament mode could be. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm pretty sure we all agree it should have bans because that's how Hearthstone is played professionally.
Yeah.
You'd have bans. Like, to me, that was a non-starter. Like, if it doesn't have bans, it's a dead mode. And yeah, okay. There may be an argument there, but, so to me, like tournament mode, I agree with the people who have been replying with, well, it wasn't for everyone. It's not going to be for the largest common denominator of the game. And I agree. Yes, that is true. So that's why my kind of discussion has been more centered around the big picture. It's just like, this is Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. Every button we click on is still a best of one. It doesn't matter what mode you're playing. It's just find a random opponent, play a best of one, hope you didn't get the worst possible matchup for the deck that you selected.
Yeah. Well,
any type of mode that's just a little more strategic. It doesn't have to be tournament mode. It can be anything else. And what bums me out about this is that there's no, but wait, there's more. Here is what we're working on instead. We've cracked it. It's kind of them admitting we have no idea how to make this work, and there's nothing new on the horizon.
I think this is a huge, well, maybe not a huge, but a significant miscalculation from a communication standpoint. I think they misestimated the outrage that this would cause and the anger of the part of the community that is the most vocal. And you'd think that Blizzard knows a little bit about that, right? and as you're saying, Garrett, there should have been a good thing with that bad thing. There should have been, we're not making tournament mode, but here's what we're working on instead. And the fact that they didn't give any anything to hold on to the people who would be unhappy about this tournament mode thing seems like a miscalculation for sure. I think they thought it was just going to be, oh, you know, no tournament mode. Okay, no big deal. And certainly it isn't that.
Yeah. Well, if you want to hear more outrage, I'd suggest listening to The Angry Chicken. Because you guys have stuff to say there. And certainly we have.
Yeah, a pretty long episode went up this past week. And we talked a lot about this. But I will say, it is not all doom and gloom. The game is in an amazing state right now, especially competitively. Competitive Hearthstone, if you go watch it right now, it is off the chain.
That's good. Chain should be. People should get off the chain.
Just like Ghost Crawler.
I agree. He's off. No, wait. He's off the leash.
I think he's off the leash.
He's off the leash.
He's off the leash.
I mean, make chain leashes.
He can be both. He can be both. He could be of the chain and of the leash.
Yeah, why not? Let him. He can be both. We can all be both. Let's all be both together. All right. A quick note before we get out of here. I am in Ohio next week. In fact, there won't be a show as a result because Friday, why is that music playing? Hold on. I got Black Temple music playing and it wasn't supposed to.
It's worried. It made your announcement of traveling ominous.
It kind of did. Well, anyway, here's the deal. So, do I have? No, I don't have that. All right, I'm going to Ohio. It's Columbus, Ohio, specifically for a convention called GDEX. I've been invited there to both speak and be part of some other panels, and I'll have a table there and some cool stuff to give away and a table full of some art and stuff. If you want to come by and get that, anyway, if you live in the Columbus area or thereabouts, and you want to come and hang out, the best time is actually Saturday because, if you're there for the whole event, you'll get all my stuff. But if you come Saturday, there's a big chunk of time in the evening where there's like this free game space where there's tons of video games being played, including, by the way, the finals for the Killer Queen Championships. I don't know if you guys know about that game, but it's like this rad arcade game that was sort of created by fans, and it's super popular, and they have tournaments all the time, and it's basically competitive joust, which if you're like me, you hear that and you freak out because joust is the greatest thing ever made. But anyway, you can come hang out, and we're expecting quite a number of Frog Panthers who will be there, Instance fans. The thing we're doing Saturday for our event is kind of not, it's not an Instance episode, but it's a deeper dive on the of the art and stuff going on in World of Warcraft and how it inspires me and other artists. I'll be doing that with artist and colorist Steve Hammaker, who's also at the event. So if any of this sounds interesting to you, it is next weekend, thegdex.com for details if you want to know how to get tickets. They have day tickets too, and they're inexpensive and should be really a good fun time. So come out and say hi. Kim's with me too, so you can say hi to her. It's going to be a great time. That's thegdex.com, and just pay attention to me on Twitter for updates while I'm there in case you're worried about where people are going to be and when it's going to be happening, because I'll be tweeting the whole time. All right, that's that. I think that's it. That's the show. Hey, before we go though, Patrick Beja over there in Helsinki, what's going on? Anything this week that people should check out from the world of frenchspin.com?
So many things, Scott. First of all, I would like to say, just for the record, I did tell you about John Stats and that he was interested in coming on the show. You never replied.
What? So when?
So, okay, that's because then he's gonna send me an email going like, oh, you dirty person, you said you can't. Okay, that is established. Second,
I didn't get
is
anything.
The cool stuff that we can talk offline. The other thing is, if you enjoy Dead Cells, who doesn't enjoy Dead Cells, right? Scott, you enjoy Dead Cells?
Dead Cells is still in my top three video games of this year, possibly still perched at number one. I really like Dead Cells is the answer. Yes.
Well, in the second to last episode of Pixels, episode 91. So 92 is a great conversation about Spider-Man with Marcus Turner, who's an amazing YouTuber, so go check that out. But 91 is an hour and a half long interview with the developers of Dead Cells, where they talk about the game, the challenges of going early access, what they did right, the company, how it works, their company is super weird. They actually have a flat structure where everyone is essentially a CEO, and they all get paid the same. They all share the same profits, no matter their job. They all have the same decision power in the company. It's super weird, but it works. Pixels episode 91. Just open your podcast app, search for Pixels, and you're subscribed.
All right, there you go. Also, I mean, those are two of my favorite games this year. That Spider-Man game's amazing. The Dead Cells is amazing. And Patrick got a real catch there. So you guys should check it out. And he and I also do a monthly show now for the Daily Tech News Show for Tom Merrick called MP4GPR. No, what is it? Give me it to me.
MVGB, Monthly Video Game Briefing.
Yeah.
Which works because it's a sister show to the Daily Tech News Show.
Yeah.
So
I think people will like it. It's like a monthly deep dive into video game happenings, and it's good stuff. So check that out. Patrick, of course, not Patrick on Twitter. Garrett, where should people go for more Garrett this week?
AlwaysAmove.tv, AMOVE.tv. All the podcasts are over there. Definitely check out the most recent episode of The Angry Chicken, because we have a rather exhaustive discussion about all of the announced features coming for new players and the slashed feature for existing ones. Other than that, Into the Nexus for Heroes of the Storm and R2-T2 for some really nerdy Warcraft lore stuff. So yep. Go check that out.
You will find it all at amove.tv. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We hope you all have a fantastic week. And don't forget that a big part of what we do here you can find over at the website, theinstance.net. Simple, easy, head over there. Instance Show on Twitter, Scott Johnson, Garrett Art, not Patrick, the_T. I have to check in on Terpster, make sure he's all right. He's got something going on this weekend in the UK, so maybe check him out. I don't know. What else? I think that's everything. Don't forget, we'll be... so there's no show next week because of my trip. We'll be back shortly after that. And a lot of stuff to say about BlizzCon. I have a thing I have to keep to myself right now that I'm so excited about I can barely stand it. But that's right, I'm pulling a Johnson. Enjoy. That's going to do it. There's more shows like this at frogpants.com. You're encouraged to go there. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, live people. We'll see you next time.
For hunters, detonation difficulties drive DPS drop-off. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. For marksman hunters, one of their prime tools during Legion against packs of mobs was Explosive Shot, a massive rocket that, if detonated properly, could bring down several targets simultaneously. More than once, I thanked Illyria Windrunner personally for having the wisdom to equip her bow Thazdra with a grenade launcher. It was a sad day when I had to sacrifice the bow to heal Azeroth, but I thought the massive troll gun I found while battling for Stromguard would be a worthy replacement. However, something is off about the weapon. When I launch an explosive shot, often instead of detonating, it disappears into a rise or drop-off in the terrain, totally wasted. When mobs look at you in pity, you know you have a problem. I was doing world quests in Western Voldoon yesterday when the reason for my gun's performance problem revealed itself. I saw a bird speed by me, chased by a Volpera with a rocket strapped to its back. A rocket that looked suspiciously like my explosive shot rocket. On a hunch, I examined my weapon carefully, and there it was, a label that said, "Manufactured by the Atal Dazar Corporation of Munitions and Explosives." I immediately hearthed and changed spec to Beast Mastery, because as an engineer, I knew explosive shot would never work right on a gun manufactured by Acme. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Terms and Buxley apply. Buxley here to answer your World of Warcraft questions in this edition of Ask Buxley. This question is about relaxation. Umpapow writes, "Dear Buxley, sometimes I get tired of constant battling. Yesterday I was able to take a break and help a bunch of turtles make it to the water. It felt so great. What do you do to get away from it all? What do I do to relax? Well, I'm an herbalist, so I go out and stare at plants a lot, except some of those plants will attack your face if you stand too close to them. I'm an alchemist too, which is pretty relaxing because I can create potions which are generally pretty useful, except when I'm not paying very close attention and they explode all over the place. I go fishing, which is pretty great. It's the best way to catch fish. I stand close to the water's edge, which means I'm constantly looking over my shoulder to make sure something isn't attacking me from behind. I did figure out that I could cast a water walking spell, which despite its name doesn't make water walk. That'd be an elemental. I mean, I can stand on top of the water and fish that way. Except I have to keep an eye out for other monsters below my feet, which is a brand new way of getting attacked. You know, come to think of it, none of that's very relaxing. Face-eating plants, explosive potions, paranoid fishing trips. Yikes, I think I really need to do something to relax. I think a lot of people have been talking about Arathi Highlands recently. Maybe I'll go there. That sounds pretty relaxing. Thanks for your question. If you'd like to know what I'm up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter. If you'd like to catch up on the segments you might have missed, look for Ask Buxley on iTunes.
Time is money, friend.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.